And I want to thank you all for your care, for your love, for your faith, for your prayers. I think God packaged it all together and sent me a grace package in the hospital with three little words. When I was at the bottom, I heard the Spirit say in my spirit, "You are well. Everything is patched." I think that was my reaction, but I started mending from then on, and becoming well has been a little bit of a process, and thanks to all your care, and particularly to Bob and Carol for their most tender care for, you know, several days turned into a whole month that I stayed with them, and they fed me, and when my appetite came back and I ate everything in sight. And we kept Carol busy packing home ice cream. But thank you. I'm here by the grace of God and by the faith that the Holy Spirit used to minister the grace of God to me in healing. And so I thank you, bless you. I want to connect to what Terry drew our attention to right at the beginning, and that is the mystery of Christ in you. In fact, I want to build on territory that Brother David has laid for some weeks in talking about the glory of God. And that is a mystery. There are at least two ways in which the word glory is used in the scriptures. One is to speak of where God has been and what he has done, and we see his eternal power and Godhead. The other is the manifestation of his person, or the Shekinah, that the Bible speaks a great deal of in both the Old and New Testament. We want to look particularly at the manifestation of God himself, his person, his majesty, the essence of his being, the glory of who he is. What does it mean? I mean, this is beyond our brain capacity to describe someone as being or having infinite power or endless wisdom or limitless grace. These are all terms that become relative simply because of our human limitations. And yet, in it all, there is a glorious purpose that God has. So let me get to the scriptures. Some of it I'm going to read from Kenneth Woost's Expanded New Testament, which is about halfway between the Amplified and the regular translation. But it does make some points somewhere. So first of all, just to speak of God's power, of his wisdom, which really doesn't describe his life, the majesty of his being. But here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world without saying a word. That's my addition. But simply by looking at creation and acknowledging that this is the handiwork of the Creator in wisdom and power and glory that we have no way of comprehending. Now, how did the universe come to be? Why is it all the way it is? You know, the intricate interconnection between all of God's creation makes us stand back in awe and wonder. We have a similar word in Romans chapter 1. It reads like this at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, as they are, so they are without excuse. That is the one aspect of the glory of God. And believe me, the word is used in many additional ways, but that will suffice for what we are after. The greater desire that we have in our heart is what the psalmist expresses in Psalm 63. And it reads like this: O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. And so David wasn't satisfied with just looking at where God had been or what he had done. He wants to see the glory of God in the wilderness of life just as he saw it in the temple. And remember, the Shekinah came in to the temple at the time of Solomon's prayers and left the holy place during the time of Ezekiel, which is almost 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, through righteousness and unrighteousness, the glory of God dwelt in the midst of his people, even though the effect of that glory just wasn't happening for many times, because look at how many times the children of Israel turned away from the Lord and had to be brought back to the Lord. This is Romans chapter 8. You can tell I'm touching on scripture I've dealt with briefly before, but Romans chapter 8 speaks of the other part of the glory of God. At verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's the mystery of godliness. That's the wonder of things we cannot comprehend, and probably are greatly remiss in making ourselves available for God to reveal himself in his true person, in his glory, in his majesty. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. See, somewhere, something glorious is going to happen. And I say glorious in the true sense of that word. That is when the saints of the Lord are able to respond to the hiddenness of the life of the Lord Jesus, to let Jesus reveal himself as he is and as he truly wants to be manifest in the world. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, or the liberty of the glory of the children of God. See, there are some things that are part of our vocabulary that I think we really don't fathom and don't make ourselves available for. That is one aspect of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The other is at another level, a deeper level, that our life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. Now, at a quick casual reading, you would probably think, well, that speaks of heaven. But it doesn't say heaven. So the in glory is not some great future event that is simply committed to eternity, although ultimately that's where the fulfillment will come. But where there is a function of grace, there is a present measure that we can walk in, a first fruits that can be the ongoing experience of our life, of the glory of God being manifest through his people. Now here's what happens where the glory is concentrated, or where the presence of the Lord is concentrated. This is back to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Solomon's dedication of the temple. And here's what happens. I'm cutting in at verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Now, when we continue reading Solomon's prayer, we hear the heartbeat of God, that all the nations, in their distress, when they would come to where God had revealed himself, they would receive answers for their prayers. Now, where the glory of God is manifest, the impossible becomes easy, and the difficult is no problem whatsoever, because the presence of the Lord is there to heal. Now, there's an interesting verse in Romans chapter 9. We wouldn't expect it to be there because it speaks of Israel under judgment. But here's how it reads, Romans chapter 9 at verse 1. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I had to read all that in order to get the background for verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. See, all this is committed to Israel by God in covenant. God is looking for a place where he can plant his feet and reveal himself to an unbelieving world. in the glory of his being, not just in what he has done, but in who he is. God committed himself to Israel by covenant to reveal his glory. So what happens? In the tabernacle in the wilderness, you have the cloud by night, the pillar of fire by day. Or rather, I got it backwards. The pillar, the shimmering flame, the dancing flame at night, and the cloud during the day, reflecting the glory of God. Now, if they were the temple of God in an earthly sense, remember, we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God desires and what he is after. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verses 2 through 4. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. See, wherever Jesus is turned loose, you have more than just a little touch of healing here or some deliverance there or something or another. But you have the situation where the glory of God will be revealed through the person of the Lord Jesus. Let me read this from Wuss translation. This doesn't have verse markings, so sometimes you get a few extra words. Not Corinthians, Colossians. Okay, sorry. Thank you, Father. The things above be constantly setting your mind upon, not the things on the earth, for you died and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Whenever the Christ is made visible, our life, then also you with him shall be manifested in glory. What is that manifestation of the glory? It's the unveiling. It's the revealing. It's the expressing of the very life and nature of God. What happens as a result of that? Well, for one thing, you were once darkness, now you are light. See, you don't just shine as the light, you are the light. And it's right for us then to expect the light of God to be revealed in dark places. So when you go into a dark place, don't be afraid. Let the glory shine. Let the life of God radiate through your being many times without saying a word. Because we are the bearers of that glory. See, one of our key problems is that we think in such earthy terms. We have a lot of religious baggage in our life. Of simply being caught up with procedures that are not the reflection of the life of God. So God made it very simple. Christ is our life. And when he appears, we appear with him in glory. Where he is proclaimed and demonstrated for who he is, God's glory shows up. Hallelujah. Now, you know, we get in a tangle, again, because of our earthiness and because of the limitations of our experience and our thinking. And this is not a mind game, as though everything would happen simply because you're thinking the right way. But it is important to express faith toward God. And when we're in that position, and we are thinking in terms of God's order of things, we become an instrument through which God reveals himself. See, what happens for the knowledge of the glory of God to fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea? How does it happen? It happens through messengers like you, like me. And, you know, we're going to think about something. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, don't attempt to squeeze God's order of things into the procedures of this secular age. Now, that may be a little uncomfortable with some people, but believe me, when the effect of the glory of God is witnessed in a community, what happens? Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Through whom? Well, you don't need a degree. You don't have to be a university professor. You don't have to be a seminary graduate. You simply need to be a believer in the Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some things here I don't want to miss out. Let me see, where am I at? Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. At verse 27. You can't find the right place to cut in. Well, let me start at verse 24, then it'll show up. I now am rejoicing in my sufferings on your behalf. Now, that's a strange expression. I mean, we're supposed to pray our way out of all of our difficulties, aren't we, and all of our pains? And here Paul is taking them on deliberately. I now am rejoicing in my sufferings on your behalf, and on my part am filling up the things lacking of the afflictions of the Christ in my flesh, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a servant according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been kept hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now was made known to his saints, to whom God desired to make known in an experiential way what is the wealth of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a mystery. But see, it doesn't end there. Christ, the hope of glory, is resident in you for a reason. See, what was God's great longing desire for Israel? He wanted to use Israel to reveal to the world what happens when a people, a nation, makes itself totally available to the Lord. And God becomes the source of their supernatural way of life. But what happened? Israel couldn't handle God the invisible. They wanted gods you could see and feel and touch. So what did they do? They made idols. What do? We make idols of human limitations. See, the hidden mystery is revealed to whom God desired to make known in an experiential way what is the wealth of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who among us is simple enough to believe that and let it happen? You know, we make it so difficult when God made it relatively easy. He did all the work. Then he handed it over to his people and said, here, now walk in it. Thank you, Father. I got to leave some things out here. Did we look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 4? Yes, we did. See, our true life is hidden with Christ in God. Thank you, Lord. First Corinthians chapter 2. At verse 7. Hallelujah, Jesus. First Corinthians 2 at verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. In John 17, Jesus said, Father, the glory that I had with you from before the foundation of the world, I have given to them that they might be one. See, we flow together as the body of Christ, not out of our brokenness or our weakness. We flow together out of our strength. The glory that I had with you from before the foundation of the world, I have given to them that they might be one. Just think of the wonder of that. Of the living temple of God, full of his presence. For what purpose? That the nations of the world could come into the presence of the Lord, and their bondages would be broken. Luke chapter 5 verse 17 tells us that the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord, was there to heal. Now, some people got upset about that because Jesus didn't follow all the traditional order of things, so the Pharisees and the Sadducees were pretty sad about it all. But what about the lame and the cripples and the palsied and what have you that walked away well from the presence of Jesus simply because the glory of God was there and the glory demonstrated itself as being superior to all other orders and they were subject to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because by his cross he won the victory. Hallelujah. It's all so simple. And we make it so complex. You know, we got our rules and regulations, and we got to come up to this prayer mode and that meditation and that amount of time and what have you. Well, that all has its place because Jesus was also a man of prayer and he'd spend nights on the mountain away from the populace in communication with his heavenly Father. That will be ordered of the Holy Spirit. Once you make a rule, a law out of it, you've taken the life out of it. You've made it a regulation. And that law brings judgment because you never completely fulfill what you put before yourself as an expectation. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 speaks in a similar frame of reference. Ephesians 3, verse 9. And to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The hidden mystery revealed in Jesus. And then as Jesus is turned loose, the glory of God manifests through his people. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light.